We're back on In Focus News Radio KMAN. We're chatting here today with Riley County Police Department Director Dennis Butler. Had some good phone calls here. We appreciate that. And if you've got any questions, we'll certainly take some more here, 785-537-1350. Director Butler, it's been interesting kind of, you know, the way that stories of these incidents are reported at the national level. Some information gets left out, and that's unfortunate because, you know, there's two sides to every story, and I feel like sometimes that's not always being told here when stories are first reported. Your thoughts on that?
You know, I mean, you and I were talking about this on the break, so I'm glad you brought it up. You know, I can't in an hour show say things that are going to change a lot of minds about things that they see either on the news or social media. But I'm a former public information officer, and I've been a police chief for 17 years. I've dealt with the media in large markets, small markets. And I want you to know that, you know, the day of the Chauvin verdict, there was a officer-involved shooting in Columbus, Ohio, where a 16-year-old teenager, young woman, definitely not a child, was shot by the police while she was attacking two other women armed with a knife. And when she was shot, the knife was held up in a plunging motion as though she were about to stab someone. The police were called to that scene. And I listened to the 911 call that everybody else who listened to that heard, where they said a woman was armed with a knife trying to stab people and called for the police and said, hurry up, get here now. And the police did. And they arrived. And it was mainly one officer. There was others that came, but the primary officer sees a woman armed with a knife going after a woman and then turns to another woman and pins her up against a car and has a knife up like she's going to stab her. And the officer shot her. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy that this woman, the 16-year-old young woman, was killed. It happened so quickly, but the thing that frustrates me, and I don't get frustrated very often when I talk about these things, because I'm always so careful not to judge anything that I don't have all the facts on. We talked about that with the Chauvin trial. I thought the jury got it right. They heard more than I did. There was excessive force there. It was clear there was excessive force. In this case, I have seen news report after news report, and I'm paraphrasing now, where they mentioned that a 16-year-old child holding a knife was shot by a police officer. And all those things that I just said a minute ago were left out. The video was shown, but the reporters and those reporting on this situation leave out those details. Not everybody gets to see the video. They only see the headline or the reporting on the radio or social media. To me, based on my experiences, that is intentionally misleading. And I don't know why professional reporters are doing that at the national level. And it does not help what we're trying to accomplish in this country. And I don't want to say for one second that there aren't problems in policing in some places and in some communities. But that type of reporting makes it worse. If there's any progress to be made nationally or even in this state or locally about building trust and reforming certain aspects of policing, there has to be honest reporting about it. It's intentional, and I think I see it. I've had other people say it to me as well, and there's some people out there listening right now that may be upset with me for saying that, but that's my perspective, and that's my opinion. But I want you to know that here in Riley County, we are not perfect. But just last week, we released an annual report on our uses of force, not just data, but analysis. And we use that data and analysis to review how we train our officers and how we can make improvements, how we can avoid hurting people or using lethal force when there's less lethal options available that can be effective. And that report is online with the law board packet. Anybody can go read it. We're not trying to hide anything here. We are trying to do our best to get better every single day, even when we find shortcomings or we make mistakes. But dishonest reporting of incidents that we can all see in a video is irresponsible, and it's making things worse, in my opinion.
Yep. Well, well said. And we've got another caller here, Director Beller, who's got a question or a concern here, so we'll put them on. Go ahead, caller. You're on In Focus.
Yes, thank you for being here. You're well-educated, well-spoken, and 15 minutes ago, you showed me in your discussion that I had been led down that rabbit hole with the news and, for instance, the YouTube police dash cams showing the high-speed chases, and developed a concern for me about policing until I sat here and listened to your presentation, and it reminded me that I'm glad that you're there. Not, we don't know who is coming into our community, whether it's some of the Crips and the Bloods from East LA in the Army learning how to do those maneuvers and how to use that equipment to take back to their lifestyle in East LA, or the studies that have been done about the crimes that are actually committed in cities that have Army bases or colleges, when people come in from the outside that bring their own education, their own experience, life experiences, and exhibit them in their lifestyle here in this community. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your time with us. I just wanted to let you know that I appreciate that, and you have opened my eyes here in this last 20 minutes. Thank you.
You know, I really appreciate your observation and comment about that. Brandon, if you have a second, can I tell you a quick story about something that happened in my last agency?
Sure. Yeah, go ahead.
So one day I got a phone call from a young woman who called me to thank me about how she was treated on a traffic stop by one of my officers. And I had been there for several years and had embarked on some very intentional non-biased policing training that I personally delivered, worked on diversifying the department, did a lot of things to raise awareness, and especially how we treated our citizens. We got the department accredited, just like this one is. And I got a call from this woman one day, and she said, you know, I'm married, and I'm married to a black man. That was her term. She said, I was driving down the street, and I got pulled over by one of your officers, and I didn't realize that my registration was expired. And he came up to the car, introduced himself, asked for my license and proof of insurance, and then told me why he stopped me. My husband was sitting in the front passenger seat. And again, he's black. And she said, it's the first time I've ever been pulled over and the officer didn't look over at him and then look back at me and say, are you okay? As if he was a threat to her sitting in her car, like maybe she was being accosted or kidnapped or forced to do something. She said, I'm just not used to that. And I just wanted to thank you for training your officers well to not make assumptions like that. You know, it's now I'm inserting my own thoughts. It's, you know, she's talking about implicit bias. She's talking about overt bias. She's talking about because someone looks a certain way, they must be a threat. Now, have I been successful? I don't know, in training every single officer I've ever dealt with to view situations that way. I don't know, but that's always my intent and my effort to make sure that we look at the situation, the behavior, not the skin color, not, you know, where somebody's from. And that just means so much to me when people give me feedback like that, that I can share with my staff and my officers, because it matters to them to hear that kind of feedback, that people do appreciate the approach that they take, and that they're not viewed as being unfair or biased in how they carry out their duties. So thank you so much for saying that, and I just wanted to share that story. Thank you for giving me the chance to do it.
You bet. We've got another caller here that wants to make a comment, so we'll go back to the phone lines. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Hey, I was just so yesterday I called in and talked to Professor, I forgot what his last name was on In Focus.
Yeah, Dr. Schaefer,
yep. He was saying that he was commenting on the young lady that got shot that had the knife. He was saying, well, I didn't watch it. I just read about it, and you know, I don't really want to watch it because I don't like watching unnecessary deaths. It's like, how can you make a comment like that if you haven't watched it? I mean, that's with the media going on like it is. They're misinforming people. Like, so the day it happened, there were headlines on a lot of newspapers. I mean, you could just check them out on, it was on Facebook and TikTok about how they were just saying young lady gunned down by a white cop or whatever. I mean, it's so misleading, yet this guy can come on and make comments like saying it's an unnecessary death when he didn't even watch it. He just read about it.
Well, I can't speak for the opinions of others. I can't. It's irresponsible for me to do that. I typically, throughout my career, don't judge what happens in other communities or comment on it without having all of the facts. But those were the days when we didn't have video like we have now. What I commented about earlier was what I saw on a police body-worn camera and what anybody else who watches the news also saw. And if you saw that, and then you looked at the headline or how it was reported, you can't reconcile those two things. It was being intentionally misleading to blame the police for saving the life, potentially, of a stabbing victim. A woman who was about to be stabbed, this officer potentially saved her life. It happened so quickly, there were no other less lethal options in my professional experience. Some could disagree with that. But I've been doing this for a long time, and that happened so quickly. When an officer deploys his taser in a potentially lethal situation, training dictates that another officer be positioned properly with a lethal option to protect that officer in case the less lethal option does not work. You don't hear about things like that in news reporting. And I can only tell you to call this 16-year-old teenager who tragically died a child, and that she was just holding a knife when it's clear she was attacking two people, one almost fatally, and the officer took an action to save the victim's life. I can't explain why that happened. And I wouldn't use the word necessary or unnecessary death. What I would say is, in that case, I saw a justified use of force based on statutes, case law, and training that is common throughout this country. And when people call the police to report a threat, a lethal threat, and they get there and they see it, you just never know what's going to happen, and they react to what happens in front of them. And I'm not going to, you know, there's an investigation that's going to occur. It's going to be a criminal one. There'll be an administrative one. My comment is about the way it was reported and how disappointed I am by that and how damaging I think that is to the country when you continually see that.
Yeah. All right. Thank you for the call here. We're going to take a break. Back with our final segment with Director Butler after this on News Radio KMAN.